Good morning. We appreciate our ladies starting us out this morning with a hymn from Charles Gabriel, who said there's nothing good that ever came out of Wilton, right? Talk to me later about that. He is so precious to me. I hope the Lord Jesus is precious to you this morning. It's really nice to see a good group out this morning. I'm excited to preach the word. I'm excited about what God may do today in the hearts of the folks here, or how that'll translate into his doings all through our families and lives and people that we have contact with. So let's join together this morning in song. It's up here on the overhead this morning, and we're going to sing about Jesus, Wonderful Lord. And he is indeed wonderful. Let's stand if we're able this morning. And then we're going to have our invocation and proceed through this time together in the Word. Born among cattle in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee's shore, in shame as the wicked once wore, Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he is my friend, true to the end, gave himself to redeem me, Jesus, wonderful Weary, yet he is the world's only rest. Plenty has blessed, tempted he promises grace for each test. Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Jesus, he is my friend, true to the end. He gave himself to redeem me. Jesus, wonderful Lord, friend of the friendless, betrayed and denied. In Gethsemane cried, light of the world, in darkness he died. Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he's my friend, true to the himself to redeem me, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for your wonderful Son, your only begotten or unique Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who came again out of the love of the Father to deliver the sins of mankind by paying the ultimate price, death of God in the flesh, the perfect Lamb of God, to redeem the sinners, those that are transgressors against God, haters of God in this world, that we might again be restored to a relationship with you personally and for your presence to be available to us eternally. Lord, thank you for this wonderful act that you gave us through your wonderful Son, Jesus. Now today, Lord, we thank you for the gathering of the Christians, and we pray again, Lord, that you would bless our assembly today, that you would bless, Lord, in the fellowship between the believers, in the preaching of the word, and that the Holy Spirit might be active today in this place and in the lives of the hearers of the word. Lord, even at this time, our hearts can be adjusted yet to be in a mode of worship and adoration of you. We have every reason to have that perspective, and no reason, Lord, that's legitimate to have anything but that. So I pray for the hearts today. Now, Lord, we also remember those that cannot be here of our group today, and even our community and outlying areas, and the choices that people have made. But I know, Lord, that even if someone is not here today, you're working in their heart. And I pray today, Father, again, that you would speak to their hearts. We know there are some that are ill, others that may be discouraged, angry, maybe even at you today, Lord. We don't know all the things that are going on. But we know this, that you still work in the hearts of men. Now, Lord, fill us with enthusiasm, and yet, Lord, check us today as we look into your word and investigate truth. And, Lord, we're thankful that you indeed are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by you. Bless our time, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today is a, come on in, folks, we're glad to have you with us this morning. Today is a day again of that we're talking about spiritual warfare. And so you'll notice that theme in our hymnology and our singing, but today we're going to sing Faith is the Victory, an old hymn. As you know, we've been making some adjustments in our singing. We're using some different things and different procedures, and I'm thankful, too, for these ladies that are up here on these instruments today. And for their part in our worship service. But Faith is the Victory. It's on the overhead this morning as we deal with spiritual warfare. We war not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy, the prince and power, the devil. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies against the foe in vales below. Strength be hurled, faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith. Victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. Saints above with shouts of triumph trod. They like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field, by which they conquered death. Is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all gird about, will vanquish neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Till he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Word from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame. Quench all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Thank you so much this morning for the good singing. At this point in our program this morning, I'd like to direct your attention over to the right-hand side of the bulletin. Also on the screen this morning, some of these announcements that are relevant for the upcoming day yet and the rest of the week are there for you to look at. I want to encourage you, first of all, to listen to the PM messages that are on the internet. All the messages are on the internet, on the website. interestingly enough. And the title for the one tonight, we're going to have a business meeting tonight in communion. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But tonight, the message on the internet is the window is open for revival. Okay? Have you shut it? So we got a little misprint there. But anyway, Jesus and Youth Club, Sunday School prayer meeting, we are having at 9:30 on Sunday mornings now. And, of course, our regular worship service at 10:40, just like we're at right now. Also, tonight we have a quarterly business meeting, and we're going to have communion as well. We'll have communion before the meeting. That will begin tonight at 6 p.m. And there are minutes, and there will be an agenda handed out tonight as well with comments and subjects that you have brought to me that we need to discuss tonight. But the minutes, I believe, Deb, did you hand those out or are they on the back table? They handed them out. So if you didn't get a copy, talk to Deb Wheeler and she'll help you out with that, okay? And so you're prepared tonight. Also, communion. Then ladies' Bible study on Saturday the 26th, 10 a.m. Also, there will be a youth activity, and I have that here in my Bible, that a handout was just printed this morning and given to me, but there is a youth activity this coming Friday evening, September 25th, from 5 to 8. That will be over here on Wellington, and it's 6725 Wellington. That's Ginger and Faith Carroll's home back in their yard. So we'll meet there. There's some instructions on that sheet. If you need to talk to anyone about that, Kim, I'm going to put you as the go-to person on that. Is that right at this time? And she'll have more information. We'll be done at 8 o'clock. So if you have young folks that are coming, it'll be over at that time. Now, a couple other things, or one, I guess, in particular. Any veterans that we have that are interested in participating in a flag ceremony at the cemetery, we have a program there. Lord willing, that will be held on the 11th month, the 11th hour, and the 11th day of November, when it should be. The armistice that ended World War I over at the cemetery. We need some people again because the honor guard is stretched too thin these days, and they are small in numbers. So if you would like to participate in that service, let me know. We'd be glad to have you. There will be decisions made tonight as well about some of the forward movement in our programs here and the coronavirus restrictions. And so, again, give your input to the leadership of the church, but also come tonight to that meeting if you have input on that as well. Is there anything else I haven't announced that needs to be announced this morning? Again, I just want to say welcome to everyone. What a nice group out today. Yeah, and I was concerned this morning we didn't have many folks here, but we're glad, and we're glad if you're visiting with us today. We're glad for everyone that's here and always interested in people. So with that said, we're going to take just a moment now of meditation. Again, we do not receive an offering in plates anymore. There are appropriate receptacles back there, some plates on the table. But we're going to take a little time now to thank the Lord and then just reflect for a few moments before we go into the rest of our program this morning. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, thanks once again. Lord, may that be the first thing that comes from our lips and our hearts as we hit the ground each day. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to get our thinking squared away that we owe everything to you. Everything that we eat, everything that we are able to use, the relationships we have, everything, Lord, our children. You even tell us in your word, they're a gift from God. It's all done by you, Lord, and we want to tell you today, thank you. So, Lord, there's no question we've all been blessed and blessed abundantly. And so now, again, you never force anything on us or demand anything. You've given it all to us. But at this time, Lord, as we consider that, help us to be thankful. And I pray today, Lord, that you would bless both the gift and the giver as people have been directed to give to you. Thank you that you've seen fit to preserve this work called Fruitland Baptist Church. And Lord, may we use those gifts again for the furtherance of your kingdom and the message of love that you've given to us to spread. So again, Lord, may you be active in this service today, and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thankfully, the Lord's on duty as we search our hearts, and He brings us again into accountability with the Word today and His love. I believe Jeff Hendricks has a special today, so thank you, Jeff.
Have to reset here for a minute. Well, it was about the middle of the week before I figured out that I was doing special today. But I looked back through the pastor now. He's putting out a text to some of us now about a week and a half, 2 weeks ahead. And this one was about, said the message was going to be spiritual warfare. Didn't have any scripture text. And I thought, wow, that's a wide open subject. There could be so many different things. Scriptures back and forth, actual wars, battles. Started thinking, you know, sound the battle cry, onward Christian soldiers. But I had a lyric that kept going through my head, and I had to remember what song it was, and it's, the battle's over and the victory's been won.
Yeah.
So we're in a process of learning new songs, but this is an old one, and every other week we're going to do new ones and teach you, but this is just an old one, and you have to put up with my piano style. Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for the love that he gave me. 10,000 years or more, I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. I will thank him, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Savior, and 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. 10,000 years and we've just begun.
Very good thought there in that song. We definitely know this, for the believer, the battle has been won, and we have been declared victorious, even though in our life here on this side of eternity, we're still going to face some struggles over that battle that was won, because of the fact that the adversary, while he's defeated, he still is active until his final doom in the place called the lake of fire, hell. And Jesus has his purposes. God has his purposes for the way he works things out. But I believe they are all in sum total directed to his glory and to show his might. But I want to tell you something today. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're on the winning side. And all you need to do is stick with him, and he'll help us. Because, again, we're still engaged in a battle, but the war has been won. Anyway, greetings in the name of the Lord this morning to one and all. Trust you're excited today about your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're just thankful for everyone that's here with us today. We always know that there's room for how many more? One more at least, and we love to see people out, and we're interested in people here at Fruitland Baptist Church. As Jeff mentioned, and let me just say this before I start, some of you have given some requests to me about certain message topics. I will honor those, Lord willing. In fact, next week there has been a request for Daniel chapter 9. That's a prophetic chapter in the book of Daniel. And let me tell you, folks, be on guard today because we're living in some unique days, and they likely could be those very days, those prophetic days, as God unwinds this current age and moves us further towards that future, like Jeff was singing about, of eternity future, where 10,000 years is going to be like a fly speck on the wall when you think about eternity. And so these are days to be looking up and to be looking in, both into the Word and into our lives, that we're prepared for the events that Jesus has planned here in the future that he's prophesied about. So Daniel chapter 9, and then also just want to again stress that there are messages on the website that are beneficial. We are not currently having Sunday evening services, and I had someone this week come to me and asked if I would preach one of those messages here in the flesh, and I said I will. It will be a rewind. I can do it, or we can listen to it again, but it's on protocol in the church, and so I will bring that also forward on a Sunday morning, where, again, it's available to more people. But these are resources that you have that we're still technically having our messages morning and evening, and we want to have you participate in that. So this morning, before we start, I'll give you the title, and it is this: Do You Believe the Lies? Do you believe the lies? You have a handout this morning. I did not put all these down. I have at least 25 listed. You can do more. Don't stress about getting these listening and trying to get them all copied down. Copy down the ones that have spoken to you. I'm going to say that Deb Wheeler would even make you a copy of this message today. But you have a little handout with 25 blanks, and I think there's at least 25 on the front and back of that. And hopefully some of these will ring a bell with us today, because I believe we certainly are struggling today with Satan's deception and his lies. And I'll tell you what, folks, he's out to stir up all kinds of trouble. He wants people in hell with him. And there's a lot of people headed that way, but you and I don't have to be today. And some of these things I'm going to illustrate, and then we're going to go into the Word of God, where Satan, the first time where he dealt with humanity, and that's with a gal named Eve. And we're going to see his tricks, his lies that people believe. So with that in mind, let's get ready to go, and let's have a word of prayer. Get your devices or your written scriptures ready to go, and check me out on this morning, folks, and help me out. Pray for me. Pray for the power of the Spirit as I deliver this message. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you humbly today. At least I do, Lord. This is a daunting task to transfer and transmit your word to the folks that are the hearers this morning. And Lord, it's only the Holy Spirit that can drive those things home, the third personality of your being, God. And I pray that he'll have an active, free course here today in the lives of people. Lord, we realize that you hate lying, and Satan is the father, and he's the author of lies, falsehoods, and deception. So I pray today, Lord, that some of these things may ring true, and that even if people may reject some of what I say today, that they'll at least give it some thought and see what you have to say about that. And I pray today, Lord, the fact that, and thank you that we have you as truth and the Bible as truth, objective truth, that we can preach. And so that's the standard that we measure up to. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll work in the hearts today. And Father, again, as always, I'm the one that needs help now at this time to articulate this message. And Lord, it's not easy to stand up and preach the truth, because there's a lot of diverse thinking today about things. And I am bound to preach the word. And so that's what I'll do today with your help, Lord. And may you bless our time In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Friends in Christ, we hear a great deal about fact-checking in the political arena today. Anyone want to laugh at this time? Fact-checking. Most of the politicians have come up short in that category from both sides of the aisle. Amen? What a mess. Whether intentional or unintentional, lack of truth is endorsing a lie. Lack of truth is endorsing a lie. No one likes to be lied to, do you really? Maybe you're facing a medical condition today. This is just an example, and you're going to the doctor. Do you really want the doctor to tell you a lie about where you stand with things? Well, truthfully, we may wish that that were the case, but we really like to know the truth, don't we? But sometimes the truth hurts. But friends, we live in a day filled with massive amounts of information that is very easily accessible. Any of you have your devices this morning? You've got so much power there with information, it is unreal. You could spend literally a lifetime investigating all types of information. But the problem is when we look at information, we have to disseminate it and know what is what? The truth and what is a lie. It's very, very much a hard thing to do. But listen to this, what the Apostle Paul told his protege Timothy almost 2,000 years ago, that as time moved on, lying and deception would increase. Now, I mentioned that I believe, again, according to the Word of God, that we are living in those days that are preparatory for God's ending of the age. In other words, it's culminated by the rapture and translation of the church, a tribulation period, and also the return of Jesus Christ that comes back to the throne in Israel at the end of that seven-year period for a thousand-year reign. Paul told Timothy, get prepared for these things. He says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And friends, we are smack in the middle of those days, I believe. You better be careful what you listen to and believe, also in what we say. You know, God's Word, and God is truth. He hates lies and deception. And some evidence of that which is plentiful in the Bible, in other words, I'm trying to say there's a lot of that evidence in the Bible that points to that, is found this morning in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I don't want to make this the whole theme of our message, but if you have your device or the Scriptures, follow along with me. This is just one area in Scripture that God addresses these type of things, and this is mentioned in this text. And you'll find that everything He mentions here has lying in one way or another involved in it. Let me read those verses. These six things doth the Lord hate, yes, seven are an abomination unto Him. When we see in the Scriptures that something's an abomination to God, it's something He hates with all His might, okay? Here it is, a proud look. I won't go into all this morning, but I could preach a sermon about deception of all this. By the way, if you're proud of yourself today, you're being deceived. It's a lie. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Seven things that God hates. They all involve, in one way or another, deception and lies. Proverbs 12:17 says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. And in Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, but I say unto you, that every idle or useless and vain word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. God hates everything about lying and deception, yet He still loves. Okay, He loves you and I today. Let's face it, folks, we're all liars in this room today, aren't we? Is there anyone in here that's never told a lie? That's exactly right. We got to come clean, folks. This lying stuff is big stuff. But I'm telling you, the worst thing that you can lie about is to yourself and your relationship to the Lord. We'll give an account, he says. And God says he hates everything about lying and deception, but he still loves those that err in that venue and turn to him in repentance. with a sincere and truthful heart. Bottom line is, Jesus is going to help you today with that struggle, both in discerning the truth and in giving out the truth and helping us to be people that are truth speakers. The Bible says, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. Ephesians 4:15 says we need to speak the truth in love. That's a tough one, isn't it? And that's a dangerous thing too as well. Anyway, now we need to explore where lies and deception originate. Right? They don't originate from God, right? Because if God is truth and the Bible is truth, then they have to originate somewhere else. And friends, it's in a guy, an angel, that deceived himself even, and that's called Lucifer, Satan. That's where lies come from. So we need to explore about lies and deception, where they originate, and again, that is Satan himself. And Jesus said it all in John chapter 8, verses 40 through 45. Let's turn there quickly. We're going to keep this moving quickly this morning. John 8, verses 40 through 45. Who was Jesus dealing with here? Religious leaders. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of the religious leaders are the biggest liars you'll ever find. And that still goes on today. I pray to God that what I tell you is gospel truth, and that's why I tell you to check it out in the truth source here. But I am very cautious about that when I prepare messages or what I deliver, that I speak accurately the truths that are communicated in the Word of God. Friend, today if you hear something from me that says I'm not very loving, if that isn't the case, but if I'm just speaking the truth, accept it as the truth because I love you. Okay? If it parallels with the Word of God, and if my heart attitude toward all of us today is correct. All right? Because sometimes you have to speak the truth. Well, you have to all the time, but you got to lay it on the line, right? Would you want me to come up here and lie to you?
No.
You're paying me. But you know what? A lot of people get paid to lie. Because it makes people what? It makes them feel good. But folks, we're not here about feelings today. We're here about facts. Never forget, facts override feelings. Facts override feelings. Jesus is talking to the religious hierarchy in Israel here. And you know what Jesus called them? By the way, John the Baptist did too, because he was a truth speaker. John the Baptist, right? He called them a bunch of snakes and vipers. He called it for what it was, but Jesus here was warning these folks, beginning in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 41. And he's talking here because these religious leaders were seeking to kill him because they claimed that he was untruthful. But if Jesus is God, and he is, he spoke the truth. Here's what he says. He says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. By the way, you want to put yourself in the shooting gallery, start speaking truth. I'm in the shooting gallery today. Which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. He's not talking about the father who is God. He says, then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. In other words, today, friends, you can't really even hear God's word unless the Spirit prompts your heart. Now listen carefully to this the second from the last verse. Jesus told it. He says, you are of your father. They claim to be the father of Abraham. You're of your father, the devil. That's what Jesus told him. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you truth, you believe me not. Folks, that's the problem in a nutshell today. We've been deceived by Satan in many cases. God forbid that continues in anyone's life here today under the sound of this preaching this morning. So, there's where it all got started. We'll look at the very roots of that here in just a moment. But Satan is an enemy of the truth Because Jesus also says in John 14, 6 and in other places, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Meaning this, biblical, and hear me close on this, folks, biblical Christianity, not all the lies and deception Christianity that come under that guise, but biblical Christianity, again, is unique. Amen. And this is the thing you better think about today. Jesus says, I'm the only way. But Satan has said there's many ways. Okay? But Jesus said he's the only way. You better explore that very carefully, because you know when anyone makes an exclusive claim like that, you better look at that. You know me enough about me. If someone says you can tear an engine down and do a certain procedure one way, I'm going to say what? And many of you are like this too. Oh, there's another way. We question it, don't we? But you know what? We better not question what Jesus said. We can question it. We can investigate it. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the truth. He's exclusive. And he's unique. I want to just say this too. You know, there's many ways that are purported that we can get to heaven. But Jesus told us right there in that verse, there's only one way. And it's only through him. Unbiblical Christianity says it's somehow through us. Or we have to do something. Biblical Christianity says, just like what Jeff's saying, it's done for us. Jesus gave it to us out of love. We don't owe anything. We can't pay our way. You'll hear some more of this in the deceptions. But let me tell you something, folks, today, you better investigate that. If you are unsure of those things, of how to know that our eternal destiny lies with Jesus in heaven versus this character here that's described in John 8 in many places in the Bible as a snake and a deceiver in a burning hell. And I'm going to even get to that later. A lot of people don't believe in heaven or hell. It's a lie. The Bible teaches clearly on both. And I'll tell you what, folks, it's the truth. Anyway, I want you to know that I try very hard to prove out what I bring to you as truth, not to be an agent of Satan. I hope you pray for me. That is why I go to the Word of God, the Bible, because it is truth. And I just illustrated that here, as I mentioned. Realize the Bible, in one place, I'm going to quote you this morning, John 17, 17, says, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. The Bible is true, and it is not a lie, and it is not deception. By the way, I encourage you to prove it. Prove what's wrong in the Bible. Prove where it's a deception. You better be sharp on your toes about that, not with me, but the Bible's sharp. That's what it says, doesn't it? In Hebrews 4:12, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what? You can come up with things where you can argue, but the Bible, if you study it far enough, it will show you it's true. I challenge you to find where the Bible has deceived anyone today, if you're willing to look at it as objective truth. The Bible is objective truth. It claims to be the truth. It is subject to no variables. It stands on its own. I don't have to support the Bible. I don't have to look at some humanly written book or text, although there's a lot of that. By the way, folks, I'm not against books and all kinds of things that we can do. Books are kind of outdated. Online stuff. There's a lot of supplemental stuff out there, but I'm going to tell you, this book has got to be the basis of it. You can read what all kinds of authors think about things, but folks, you bring in deception possibly there. Because even at our best, even my work here this morning at my best is subject to what? Faultiness. Because I'm a sinner. See? Sinner saved by grace, but I'm faulty. This has got to be the basis, my friends, this book. That's the book that you need to look at. Why do you suppose it's been in the bestseller list throughout all time? Because it's profound. It's truth. It's truth. It sets the standard, not we or other authors. God, the author of the book. So the Bible is objective truth. It is subject to no variables. It stands on its own. These are the objective forms of truth that are reliable. But subjective truth, which is without valid proof, is always suspect. Never forget that. Subjective truth is just what it means. It's subject to what? Someone's interpretation of it. The Bible is not interpreted. The Bible stands on its own. God gives you what he says, and he'll allow you to study it and learn what it has to say. But the lies of Satan will always be subjective. Why will they be? Because he's not the truth. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. And again, to those that are under Satan's hook, though, they are objective. They believe Satan, hook, line, and sinker. But the Bible says he's a liar. Don't believe him. I got to admit to you, folks, when someone has lied to me, and I know it, I understand it. I've been lied to many times. I can't tell you as a pastor how many times I've said, "See you in church Sunday, brother." Well, do you agree that I've heard that? When people spoke the words, they had what? No intention of fulfilling it, but they what? They felt good about it. Satan made them feel good about it. You know what? I'm not surprised at any of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, folks, Satan's behind it. You can check that out. Whenever we lie, he's behind it. He's the father of lies. So again, to people that believe Satan's lies, his stuff is objective truth. But you better be careful that you're not deceived. And one of those biggest things that he purports in his lies is that the Bible is untrue. More on that later. But according to the Bible, which is objective, you are believing a lie. I hope you've understood what I'm saying here. You hopefully get what I'm illustrating in condensed form. The Bible is objective truth. What contradicts it is objective in the doubter's point of view, but is a lie and a deception of Satan. There's the bottom line with all this. All right, let's look at some of these deceptions, right? So get your pens and writing sticks out. You know, I'm all in favor of having all this on the screen, and we do that a lot. But I also am in favor of people using a writing instrument. Because there's proven fact that when you write something down and you connect with your fingers and the brain, it sticks in your brain. We've been dumbed down too far today. It's been made too easy, folks. So write a few things down. And again, Deb Wheeler will help you if you need a copy of this. But the problem is you may not be able to read my writing. I've been charged with that before as well. So here it is. Some common lies that people, including possibly Christians, accept that are clearly clear objectively in Scripture. Be free to add some to my list, and I'm going to hope that someone will, or maybe a few of you as we go through this, because there are many. I can't list them all here this morning. But what do you believe this morning? And what have you believed at Satan's behest? Hey, and we're glad for everyone here this morning. Well, let's start out. I've already given you a little hint on some of these, and this is the first one, that the Bible is not objective truth. And I'm not going to go into a big thing on any of these. And that it is not error-free. I believe it's error-free because it claims to be the truth. You know what? There's all kinds of things that have been said through time. They say the flood was not real. A biblical, universal, worldwide flood was not real. That a guy named Jonah was not real and that he was swallowed by a whale. The Bible says whale in one place. I was corrected on that a while back. But otherwise it says a great fish. I believe he was. Because Jesus believed he was. And Jesus is the truth. And there's a whole count. You can look at that. But you think about that. People believe that the Bible's a fable. You've heard those. Maybe someone here this morning believes that. So there's one of them. Here's the next one. I alluded to this, that salvation is obtained or maintained by our works. That salvation is obtained or maintained by our works. That somehow our good works offset our bad, and that's what gets us into heaven. Bible never doesn't teach that. Satan teaches that. That our baptism gets us to heaven. There's a whole bunch of liars in the old mainline churches and others that are going to tell you all kinds of stuff like that, that's a part of our way to get to heaven. It's done by man. Now, I'll go along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a lie, folks. Investigate it from Scripture. You'll never find it. That our good deeds and our goodness. By the way, man is not good. In case you came here this morning full of self-esteem, I'm going to knock it down a little bit, or you can think about it. We're not good. I'm not good. Paul said, there is no good thing in me. We're not righteous. No, not one. We're all sinners. That's what the Bible says. Got to keep going here. That man's not that bad. I'm not that bad. There's other people who have done a lot worse. Doesn't matter. The heart is desperately... For the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. See, if you have that thought in you this morning, I'm not that bad. The Bible says we're bad. We're bad enough that Christ cannot look upon us. He can only look upon us through His grace and mercy in Jesus, through His love for us. But we're not right. Okay, keep going fast. That the church is of little relevance and attendance is optional. Is that taught in the Bible?
No.
Anything like that taught in the Bible? That Sunday school isn't important.
I don't think it mentions Sunday
school. Okay, it mentions education. But I'm illustrating, Dean, that people blow things away. For some reason. I'm tired. I want to eat breakfast. I want to enjoy one of the political shows on Sunday morning. I know they're on, even though I don't watch them. Or whatever. But I'm going to go on with this. What about prayer meeting? What about communion? By the way, we're having it tonight. What are the lies that Satan's... Because Jesus said about communion, He said, this do in remembrance of me. It's not a ritual, folks. It's an experience in the body of Christ and what Jesus told us to be reminded vividly how much we need each other. Enough said. Could preach a whole message on that. So the church is of little relevance in its functions. That Bible study and reading are not necessary. You ever heard that? That not telling the truth or partial truth in some circumstances is acceptable. The technical name for that is situation ethics. If God's against lies, and Satan's the father of lies, is partial truth and partial lying acceptable? And the answer is no. I know, I've heard that argument. Well, the people really didn't look very good that day, but I told them they're looking great. See, I don't have a problem there because I already know I don't look great. By the way, keep it low. It's a lot easier to fall from low heights than high heights. But how do you handle a situation like that? Shut your mouth. Hello, nice to see you if you mean it. You don't have to go in and try to butter people up with lies. See how much this is entrenched into us, folks? I've done it. I've probably done all these things. You know, that you could. We all have. See how easy it is to fall into Satan's trap? Here it is, folks. What about abortion? It's murder. And I'm not just picking on that subject, and I'm going to move right on. But there's a lot of people that have believed the lie about that very thing. You know what? Even today, people select the gender of their child. And they remove the gender if it's one that they have, whether it's in the test tube or in the womb, if it isn't what pleases them. It's murder, folks. It doesn't line up with Scripture. It doesn't line up with the truth. It lines up with Satan and his agenda. Because it's legal in America, you know. You know what? God's laughing at America. He's crying about America, too. But you know, it says, I've showed you that verse before, God looks at the nations as a drop in the bucket. Who cares what the Supreme Court has ruled in America? Well, I care if it's the right reasons, and I care about these innocent lives that are being hurt, but let me tell you something, they're working under the forces of Satan. And I don't see any change coming in that until there's a spiritual revival in people. You better watch what you believe. Here it is. That being sexually involved outside of the bonds of marriage is not objectionable to God. When the Bible clearly teaches it's between one man and one woman. Enough said. that homosexual activity and lifestyle line up with Scripture. I'm sorry, folks, they don't. That gender is fluid. God said He created them male and female. That there are not God-given roles for the sexes, male and female. Am I going too fast? All right, I'll slow down. That there are. Now see, if I was like a nominal, and I'm not a preacher, I'm a pastor, because I'm not much of a preacher. But if I was like most of religion today, I'd say, and a transcript of this is available to you for a nominal cost. Bunch of crooks. I've preached on that too. One of these days, I'm going to be in the shooting gallery and I'll probably get nailed. But folks, I love you too much to not preach the truth. There's more on the list in case you didn't. You want to go further or quit? Anyone want to leave? The doors are open. No one forces us. Anyway, that the theory of evolution is truth. I can tell you one thing, folks. That particular lie that Satan's put out there has caused a lot more to come from it. That very one thing. It denies God. That we are not bound to witness to the lost about Jesus if it goes outside of our comfort zone. That mind-altering substances are not dangerous, whether they're legal or illegal. Bible's got a lot to say about that. And here it is, I mentioned it earlier, that there is no heaven or hell. Today, my friends, a good bit of the clergy, and I'm not a clergy person, when I go to the hospital or Lutheran homes or wherever and it says reserved for clergy, I park somewhere else. Because I'm not a cleric. I'm an under-shepherd of the Lord. I'll walk further. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to some, quote, quasi-Christian churches today, they'll teach there's no hell. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the Bible also teaches about heaven. Enough said. And here's another big one, that everyone goes to heaven. That's called universalism. They come up with a case and twist the scriptures in one area where it says Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And they say, oh, everyone's saved because of what He did at the cross. What the Bible really teaches is that all can be saved, that He died for every sin of every person. But it does not say, again, that everyone is saved and that they're headed for heaven. That God doesn't hate divorce. Check it out. That politics and government has the answers. By the way, there's a big movement, and it's not just new. America's been a socialist nation for years. People are all in the system, most of them. We don't turn to God for our sustenance, we turn to government. Communism and socialism are anti-God, I'm going to tell you this right now. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing that you won't hear, probably nowhere in a pulpit today. God does endorse biblical communism. I said biblical communism. Read about it in the book of Acts. But you know why it doesn't work, folks? It could work. We could all help each other out. We could all do the right things together, and it could be one utopian society. But there's one problem. We're all sinners. Sin gets in the way of success with anything, folks. Let me just say this. Paul's illustration of this simple fact, if you don't work, you don't eat, endorses some form of work for our sustenance. Okay? By the way, I take arguments and I take complaints, but the complaint department's only open a half hour a day and I never publicize what time. But seriously, if you want to talk about these, I'll bang them around with you. And I'll still love you, even if you don't agree. How about that for a deal? Okay? Did I say this one? That welfare and government programs nullify the need for work? It's theft. That my feelings and needs come first. Satan's taught the lie of self-esteem for several generations now in America. Maybe someone's under that today. It's about me. That Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. I've already illustrated that he is. That I'm not that bad to deserve a place called hell. Bible doesn't teach that. It says we're all. One sin is all it takes. It's one transgression against the holiness of a holy God that allows us to end up in hell apart from Jesus' rescue. You know what? Can we make this a part two message? Because we're about out of time. Is anyone upset today? Has your self-esteem been bruised? Well, we'll see what happens. I can preach fast if I have to. That I'd rather be in hell with my friends than go to heaven. I've heard it, folks. And here's the other one. When you talk to someone about the Lord, he ain't never done nothing for me. Didn't I just give a little scripture about idle words? You know, at the great white throne judgment, when someone comes up there and pleads their case before the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they're going to plead? They're going to plead works. They're going to say, but I did all this. But there it is, folks. They lied. He ain't never done... I've heard this so many times from people. He ain't never done nothing for me. I did it all. I'll tell you what, when you see Jesus, and his face won't be loving at the great white throne. And if you're here today, he's going to say, that crazy nut John, he preached that to you one time. I've preached it more than once. It's there in the Word. We're about done. Here's the last one. Well, no, it's not. That Satan isn't real. You heard that one? 1 Peter 5:8-9 will say that we better be vigilant because he's our adversary. He's out like a lion trying to take us out. He's trying to take us out this morning. And here's another one, that God doesn't love you. Yes, he does. He loves you with an unbelievable, everlasting love. And this Bible is a love letter, folks. People think it's about judgment and hate. But no, that's not what underpins the Bible. What underpins the Bible is love. When I went up to meet the imam from Cedar Rapids at a meeting here in town, I asked him, what are the tenets of Islam? What is it? I said, biblical Christianity is love. He could not answer me. Because I'm going to tell you what, folks, these false religions, hate is what underpins those religions. Islam does not love people unconditionally. Only biblical Christianity talks about the love of God that is for everyone. He loves us today. Okay, the list goes on. I'll give two people a chance, and then we're going to have to wrap this thing up. What did I miss? There's a lot I missed. Isn't there? Because the lies go further and further and further. Come on, someone had to... I know there's a critical spirit here today. You'll tell me at the door, John, you forgot this. Let's go there real quick. Can you give me 4 minutes? Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go right back to the beginning. Because the beginning's where it starts. You can actually go back further than that. You can read about Satan and how he fell from heaven. And I'm going to have trouble here. Someone might have to help me with my papers. That's why I preach in the middle of the Bible and further back, so my papers don't fall out. Any of you have that problem? Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm having trouble here with my page. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's the word of God. There's the parameters. Now go to 3:1. You have to read this because I can't do it all this morning. Now the serpent. Interestingly enough, we don't like the looks. Well, I don't mind them, but There's some snakes, again, I wouldn't want to mess with. But we don't, especially you gals, you don't like snakes, do you? But when Satan first was manifested as a serpent, he was beautiful. He was attractive, okay? But today the snakes are, God put them on the ground. They're crawling around in the dirt. They're a scary thing to most of us. And no, I'm not like some of the wackos down south that, you know, take that as a, you know, I've got the Holy Ghost handling poisonous snakes. No. I'm crazy, but not that crazy. What? Kim, what'd you say? What'd you say, Lily? I'll keep that in mind. Now, do you believe what I'm... I wouldn't lie to you about that. Yeah, there's people that demonstrate their faith. They want to demonstrate that God... But let me tell you, the people that have done it have been bitten and died. God gave you a brain. He says, don't mess around with that kind of stuff.
You know,
there is. But we aren't going to go there this morning because we got to get done. Okay? Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Bottom line, what he did, he says, test this, Eve, with what God's word said. Did he say that? Eve says, yeah. You've got your device this morning or your scripture. You know what the word says. Got it right there in front of us today. So he makes Eve confirm what God said even. Now let's go on here. Satan's a liar and a trickster. Again, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. He's going to set up a scenario for you and I to question God's word. Pure and simple. Hasn't changed. This is his pattern. 2 and 3 of chapter 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Is that truth? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat it, need it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did Eve tell the truth?
No.
Not quite. What'd she say?
She added to it by saying that she's not supposed to
touch it. See, there again, when you start messing around with God's word, you're under the guise of Satan's authority. Let me finish, because we're short. I'll talk to you afterward, okay? So what do we find here? In verse 2 and 3, she repeated the word. Now look at verse 4, 4 through 5 here. See what it says? He's adding to God's word here again. He says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God knew that. But he didn't transmit that, did he? By the way, can we know the mind of God in totality? And the answer is no. We can only know what he's revealed in his word. What I'm saying there is be careful what you start thinking about. Be careful what you add. Take it for what it says. He spoke a little bit of truth there, didn't he? But it was above what God had revealed to Adam and Eve. And by the way, Adam, where was he? He really was given the responsibility to instruct his wife. If you love your spouse, and tell them the truth in love. Okay, got to go here. Verse 5. Did I read? Yes, I read that. Eve repeated the word. Satan lies but speaks a grain of truth, which is deception. You got to be on guard. And then let's wrap it up with 6 and 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and I could preach a whole message on all this, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And here's Adam, and this is a scenario for men. Men, you need to be leaders. You need to be leaders spiritually in our lives and our homes. Because here's what Adam probably said, oh, okay. I'll do it. And look what happened in 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. It's called a conscience, because they were embarrassed. because God revealed now that they had fallen into sin. And the whole thing, including right up to now, has been tainted, and it's a disaster, and only through Christ can it be restored. At Satan's behest, even believed the lie, and destruction followed, and there's a lot of it going on right now. But thankfully, God, out of love, provided redemption and a solution in the blood of the Lamb. We are vulnerable to the same trickery. Bottom line, believe God's objective truth, which is His Word, the Bible. Stop doubting. Believe. Satan plants that doubt in you about the Word. Believe. The Bible always says that for our salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Stop doubting. As sinners believe and be thankful for the remedy. Wonderful Jesus, just what we started out with today, who took our penalty in our place on Calvary's cross. What lies of Satan are you and I being deceived about today? I probably hit on a few for all of us at least this morning. The truth, though, friends, will set you free before it's too late. I believe this, folks, if I weren't set free in Christ, I'd want to be before I left here today. And it's as simple as what I just said a moment ago. Believe Him! Believe that you're a sinner. Believe that He loves you and came and died to save you, died in our place. Believe in the power of His resurrection. Believe in heaven and believe in hell today. Believing. Today's the day to get it right. We don't know what may befall us in the future, but we know as of yet we can renounce the lies of Satan and believe the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. What will you do today? You heard the truth. Amen. Today we have I believe it's up on our screen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to have to open my hymnal because I can't turn around to the screen, but it's 546. But folks, as we stand today, if you're able, isn't it about time we stop focusing on the things of Satan and believe the truth? Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. Look on Him. He'll be gentle with you today as you come to Him in repentance, or that you may acknowledge, yeah, I believe these lies. Lord, forgive me. You know, I believe some of the lies. I don't know if I'm headed for heaven or hell today. Well, let me just say this. If you're not headed for heaven, you're headed for hell. Remember, there's no neutral in God's gearbox. Today's a day. I'm here again. I can't save you, but I would surely be glad to be God's representative and show you His love in the Scriptures today. It's a day to turn your eyes on Jesus. Turn